finding pregnancy support you can trust is worth celebrating. Getting it on sale is worth belting Beyonce in your car. That's right. Ritual's Black Friday sale is on. Support your body's new nutrient needs with their clinically backed prenatal multivitamin. Or give back to your gut with Natal Biotic, a probiotic supplement for trying, pregnancy, and postpartum to support digestive, vaginal, and baby's immune health. At Ritual, quality is top priority. All of their supplements are clean, third-party tested for heavy metals, and 100% made traceable. Because you deserve high-quality support at every stage of your pregnancy journey. Cut prices without cutting corners and get their best savings on their best supplements with 40% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/pregnancy support. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
If you're going on vacation with friends, what's the wrong amount of people to go with? Because according to all this new research, according to Vogue magazine, the answer is three. If you go away with two other people, three people going away, it's almost guaranteed you're going to have drama and trauma during the trip.
Well, I mean, I think any time that you have an odd number of people that are traveling together, obviously there's a third wheel, right? So if you're vacationing, you know, with friends, if it's me and three other people, I think we're fine. Then there's four of us all together.
Yeah, so that's what they say. They say if you go with four, it's fine.
Yeah.
If you go with you and just one other person, two, that's fine. Anything more than four, great. Three, big problem. Because there's always going to be one person that feels left out and feels like they don't belong in the group and whatever. And I don't know if I necessarily agree with that because I have two good girlfriends that I could go away with and I'm happy with the three of us.
Yeah, but they're comfortable with each other. That's the main thing too, right? So a lot of times people in their mind, they've got a friend that's an A-level friend and another one that's a B-level friend or together you're all best friends, but in one of theirs mind, they're thinking, am I more best friend? Am I less best friend? Right? There's this little bit of competition. And then God forbid, one of you has one idea of something you want to do. The other person also does that. Then they feel like it's the two of you on one side and you're ganging up on the other. I've seen this before. It can definitely be an issue.
The reason why this even comes up is I guess it's three women that are on vacation on the White Lotus.
Okay.
And they're saying this is the problem. This is why you never take a three-person girls trip, because this is always what happens is that some drama will come up amongst the three girls every single time.
People love this show.
Yeah, I was trying to think about times that I've gone away with two other people. I haven't. There's always been four of us or two of us.
I could tell you this. I've traveled with a couple before. I've traveled with friends before, and I've traveled with a large group of people, some that were couples and some that were singles. The singles, it always became an issue between one of the couples and them or whatever. And I think it's, again, it's just kind of that odd number. When you're traveling with just another couple, then you've got to get your plans lined up. But whether you're with a group, you can leave people to do their own things. I don't know. Just three together, one room, takes a special kind of friendship.
One of my daughters, when she was younger, there was an email from a teacher because she had two best friends. And there was three of them. There was a trio that did everything together. And the teacher sent me an email and the other parents too, saying that there's a real problem with groups of three girl best friends in schools. Because what always happens is that one favors one.
Yeah.
And then one person gets left out, and that's where the drama begins. Much like going on a vacation, like the White Lotus.
Somebody can get left behind.
Right. So when they were doing, when they were planning classrooms for the new year, they purposely put them in different classrooms so that they could not be friends together and could not group together, that it was such a problem in the past with girlfriend groups of three that they had to do it. It's so weird when you think about it.
Sometimes these rules that we implement for kids' development, gosh, you just really hope that it works that way because, of course, there's exceptions to every rule.
Of course there is.
Yeah, and at that moment, that must have seemed very painful for one of them to be off on their own. On the other hand, it might be the best thing that ever happened.
Right. So and we'll never know which one it was.
That's right. We'll have to check in 30 years.
Anna Ann Ravens, Pick'em News.
Three news stories, but you only hear about one, and Raven picks which one it is. Pick'em News is powered by Sherwin-Williams. Shop the Sherwin-Williams Spring Sale and get 30% off paints and stains. March 28th through April 7th. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Just like anybody else, Anna, I love options. What
all
you
right.
got?
Here we go. Top three stories trending. Number one, couple makes ER visit after trying to go viral.
I mean, that seems like that can happen to anybody.
Not for what happened to them.
Okay.
Number two, Swiss town using museums to heal the sick.
No.
Oh. And number three, plumber returns to reclog a pipe after business didn't pay.
You know, that's one of those things, right? Because they feel like it's a business. You know, what are you going to do? You know what? Let's go with the plumber story. I love it.
All right. So here's the operations manager of the restaurant. He's telling his side of the story of what happened. Now, let's keep in mind, this is a Thai restaurant.
I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. It's like, okay, is this really happening?
So this was the first invoice, basically explaining all the work he did. And then this is the second one, basically doing the same exact work. And he charged us double.
So they got two bills. The toilets got clogged.
Okay.
They called the plumber.
Mm-hmm.
The plumber came and they fixed it, sent a bill. Then a couple days later, it got clogged again.
Okay.
So the restaurant guy called the plumber and said, hey, you snaked this and you cleaned it, but you didn't fix it. And now they're clogged again. So the guy came out, declogged the toilets again.
Yeah.
Sent another bill.
Yeah, this is disgusting.
The restaurant said, yeah, no, we're not paying you for the second time. You have to stand behind your work, right?
Oh, I don't know.
But then what happened was the plumber did an ultimatum. The cameras caught him putting a balloon in the toilets. He came back on the property and clogged the toilets with the balloon. And he said, I'm leaving for the weekend in 1 hour. You either pay me or the balloon stays in your system.
Wait a minute. What?
Yep.
He did this before the second time?
After the second time when they would not pay him for the bill.
If we were to leave the balloon in there, it would overflow the restaurant with water, dirty water that's going down the grease trap. And basically, we would have to shut down.
Mm-hmm.
This is all disgusting. It's all terrible.
Right. This is the actual plumber talking about why he was owed the money.
I don't have a magic wand I can wave and remove all of the garbage and debris from the drain line. We can snake it. We can verify that it's open and working correctly, which is what we did.
So he wanted to get paid. That is spiteful. So he went to go put a balloon in there. Is that illegal? Huh.
I have no idea. Where did this happen again? This is crazy.
This happened in Indiana.
Oh, I was going to say. Thai food place. I thought it was like on the other side of the world here.
Says these matters are normally settled in small claims court. Well, I don't know.
I don't need. I mean, plenty of times contractors have held you up, right? And, you know, basically made you held up for payment or whatever. I don't know what you call that. Extorted you.
It's being spiteful and they extorted him. What are they going to do? Now we got a balloon in the middle of your pipes and you either are going to have to close down the restaurant or you're going to pay the dude.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it. I'm like, have I ever done anything spiteful at work when I didn't get paid? And I only have one thing I could think about.
What's that?
I still can't stand this guy to this day. When I was selling real estate, there was a house that I was closing on. And the guy was a total, honestly, not a great guy from the beginning. He was hard to work with. When we went to closing day to do the final walkthrough, the washing machine was gone. They took the washing machine with them. So now there was a legal dispute about whether or not they were supposed to leave the washing machine or not. And he said to me, if you don't take this $2,000 out of your commission, I'm not closing today. And it was so I had to pay him.
Basically, again, extortion
to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I had to pay him $2,000 for the washing machine so he would close that day and not blow the entire deal. And he knew it. He knew my my hands were tied. What was I going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah. And now in retrospect, I should have told him to go scratch, but I didn't. But you know what I didn't do? I didn't give him his bottle of wine for congratulations.
Kept that for yourself.
I drank that that night by myself.
I once worked at a radio station that sold like under cover of darkness. Nobody knew that it was happening. It just kind of came up last minute. And everybody pilfered the building. And I felt terrible about that. I never felt like that was right. But then when there was nothing left and I realized there was no more checks coming, I took all the framed photos from the downstairs.
Nice.
They had a classical station. I've got Mozart albums, Beethoven.
Right. Now?
None of them are signed.
Now they're in your dining room.
That's right.
Yeah. Have you ever encountered culture shock when you traveled to another country?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, this was in the news.
Bullfighting without violence, it is called.
Killing the bull is no longer permitted, or even injuring the animal. No sharp objects allowed.
And to protect the matador, the bull's horns will be covered.
That's right. Mexico City has voted to ban violent bullfighting. And there's a lot of back and forth on this from the animal rights group and the people that are pro bullfighting. But I'll tell you something.
I'll say that that's good.
I mean, I agree. 100%. But you want to talk about culture shock? When I was on my honeymoon, we were in Mexico.
Now, I'm dressed all cute because I'm on my honeymoon.
Yeah, of course.
And I've got a hat.
You're young.
Yeah, I'm young and
vibrant.
Full
Look at
of
your
life.
Skin was glowing.
Whole life ahead of me.
Wow.
I said to my husband, I'm like, why don't we go to one of these bull things? And in my mind, it's the matador going, ole!
Yes, yes. And it'll be cultural.
Yes.
You'll be like, all right, welcome our neighbors to the north.
I want you to imagine my face when all of a sudden they come out with a sword. I thought I was gonna die.
I mean, it sounds terrible.
It was so. I was like, "Oh my god!"
Yeah.
And I thought it was like a joke, like part of a play. I didn't
like one
I
of those
know.
Fake knives that when you press it against somebody, the blade goes into the handle.
I don't know what I thought, but I was 23 years old, and I was horrified,
young and stupid in Mexico.
In my the beer I had in my hand, yeah. I just dropped to the dirt floor. I was just like, "Oh my gosh!"
And so they disposed of this bull there. They harvested this bull.
I said to my husband, "I go. We gotta go right now."
I mean, everybody ate the bull after or whatever.
And Raven, I don't know. I left.
You left. I left immediately.
I went back to my resort to the beach where I belong
and cried.
Yes,
it's terrible. I'm always the person you know when I see the video where the bull jumps up in the stands, the Spanish running of the bulls, all that stuff. Listen, I don't want to disrespect you, Spain, but that's stupid. All right, and it's always been stupid. If you aren't eating that thing, it's stupid. And when he jumps up into the stands, I'm like, yes, get some bull.
That was my first real culture shock growing up. I was like, you know, countries do different things that you're not used to.
Yeah, when you travel, you're going to see that.
What's the biggest culture shock that you encountered, Ray?
Was actually spending some time in Germany a few years back, and the first restaurant that I went into ordered a Coke and got it with no ice. Mm. Asked for ice. And was treated like I was a pariah, like this was just the biggest, most insulting thing in the world that anybody could ask for. And I found out later, ice just doesn't come in your drinks when you're over in Germany.
In a lot of places in Europe, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Also, I couldn't get a Diet Coke in Italy. It was only Coke Zero.
Hmm.
Like nowhere you went, they would look at you like you were crazy if you asked for a Diet Coke.
Yeah. Well, they made their choice.
I guess.
They made their choice. A Diet Coke will not be allowed here. The ice thing. That would be something for me to have to kind of get used to that. So when they serve you a pop, a soda, though, do they still serve it cold? Like, does it come out of a fridge or a freezer?
It's cold-ish, but it's not always as cold. Naturally not as cold as I'd like it. It was kind of lukewarm a lot of times if you got it without the ice.
Is there a country in Europe where they're like, we want ice as much as America does? Because I always hear about how they don't like it that way,
whatever.
But there's got to be somebody out there across the globe that is like, you know what? No, we're getting all the ice.
My husband goes to Germany a lot. And the one thing that he always says is that when they go out to dinner and they get their beers, him and his coworkers, you go Prost or something like that. And you like to, but you have to look at everybody in their eye.
In the eye.
Yeah, that's a big thing. It's like you have to look at them in the eye. So he always tries to do it to me, but it's so creepy and weird when he does it.
And you're just one person.
I'm like, leave
Imagine
me alone.
Imagine having to do it with the whole team.
I'm going to drink this by myself. Leave me alone, you know? Mexico City has voted to ban violent bullfighting. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, it's about time. I remember on my honeymoon 20 years ago, we went to Mexico. I had no idea that it wasn't just ole and matadors and dancing around.
Yeah.
I went, and when I saw that they were violent to the bulls, it was the biggest culture shock of my life. I was like, oh, what are they doing to these animals?
I rode a mechanical bull one time in the center of Tijuana. Different experience.
Very different, I would guess.
Yeah, but I got slaughtered just the same.
When you traveled out of the country, what was the biggest culture shock you encountered?
I went to the south of France with a group of girlfriends, and when we met some guys at a bar, they all gave us three kisses, like in our cheeks. So apparently they're like, and we were all freaked out, and they're like, oh, no, this is how we say hello to strangers.
I mean, group of girls, group of guys, those guys could have said anything. All right.
No, but then we looked around the bar and everybody was like saying hello like that. It was like how they greet each other.
That's weird. In Europe, with my family, they kiss on both cheeks.
Yeah.
And it's guys and girls. Guys kiss each other too, like
deeply.
That. Yeah, like kiss on each cheek. Mm-hmm. But I never kissed a stranger before.
Kiss them all. Kiss them all, Anna.
Are they air kisses or do they make contact?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They made contact.
Oh, yeah, full contact. Yep.
Gross. I don't know if I like that.
Full contact in the south of France.
It's kind of nasty.
Ryan, how about you? You went to another country. What was the culture shock?
I went to France a few years ago. Was really excited to go to Paris to visit the Louvre, big art history guy. And was just so taken aback by how mean the French people are. I don't know if it's because like I'm American, they don't like us. But they were outright mean to me. And guys, I'm going to be honest, they're they're pretty smelly. I was not expecting the levels of BO over there. So very, you know, very uncomfortable experience. Yes.
Very all natural there. It's a, a lot of Europe is like that, I think.
It's hard for me to imagine when you're traveling, people just being rude, because I always try to walk into a place with a smile. But I mean, they kind of give you the warning, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you hear a stereotype so many times, there's got to be some truth to it.
The only time I've ever had that situation where I traveled somewhere and I felt like they were being mean to me because I was American was right after 9/11. I studied abroad in London.
Mm-hmm.
The British people were so mean.
I mean, that's so strange.
And they said we were dragging them into a war, that it wasn't their war. I mean, one guy told me to jump in the pond and swim home. Like, I was afraid. Me and my, I went with a good friend of mine, one of my sorority sisters, and we studied together there. You know, we never spoke when we were out. Because, like, we didn't want people to hear our American accents.
Yeah, well,
it was instantaneous.
Everybody knows that when you're traveling somewhere and you don't want people to know you're American, you just say you're Canadian.
No.
Yes, we're Canadian. Yeah. We're totally Canadians. Yes. Hey, Chris, culture shock. You were traveling and you didn't expect this when you saw it.
I was in Paris, mm-hmm. and we were off the beaten path, and we went to this little restaurant and drank some wine, had to go to the ladies' room. Walked in the door, there was a hole in the ground.
Oh, yeah, the hole in the ground. Yeah, that's culture shock for a lot of people. My grandmother used to tell me about that when she traveled to China and Japan back in the day. And now you go in there, if you go to Japan, the bathroom's like an apartment. So maybe they'll catch up next time you're in Paris, I guess.
Yeah, well, you know, after that, I went to restaurants where I knew there might be a toilet.
Yeah, you asked, is there plumbing?
Teaching my 16-year-old how to drive has been the most terrifying experience of my life.
I feel for her so bad. You must be making it so stressful for her.
Every day it gets a little bit better, but if you have a tip or a suggestion for teaching your kids how to drive and how to stay calm, what is it? Ed, what do you got?
I got scary for you.
Oh, no.
So I give my daughter a Rubicon for school,
mm-hmm.
and she takes it out for the first time. She already has her license. And it starts to snow, and I'm like, take your UGG boots off because it makes it hard to gas to the brake.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, I got this. 10 minutes later, the phone rings. The first thing out of my mouth is, damn, her crying. Dad, I hit a car, not one, but three.
No!
I tried three cars, and I'm like, didn't I tell you to take your boots off? I tried to step on the brake and couldn't do it.
I don't know, man. I mean, I know you thought you were being safe, Ed, but giving her a Rubicon, giving her a Jeep for the first car, come on.
When you pull into the high school,
that's all I see.
That's all you see is 100 of them.
No kidding.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's like Matchbox cars to me, man.
Ugh.
Rose, driver.
I'm sorry. I'm laughing. Okay. I'm laughing because of what Anna was saying.
So what is your tips, Rose, for teaching somebody how to drive?
Give me some advice.
Well, you know what's so funny? That's why I was laughing, because I literally just went through this, Anna. And the one scary moment when I was teaching her, I'm a school bus driver, and I think I'm a pretty good bus driver.
Mm-hmm.
One day I'm teaching her parallel parking, and she had just parked beautifully. So, of course, you're parallel parking next to a car. Thankfully, no one was around. After she parked, she puts it in drive and guns it. And bumps into it. And I'm like, I can't believe you just did that.
Hi, Rob. Teaching your kid how to drive. What's your story?
I teach my two kids how to drive. And I found a lot of success practicing in graveyards.
Oh. Graveyards are good, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, because you can teach them how to turn, and it's not the openness of a parking lot.
Yeah.
But you don't have to worry about hurting anything.
But, you know, the thing is, though, about cemeteries, and it's always a thin roadway, right? Like, it's almost like a single lane, and yet somebody could be coming from the other direction. They freak out. You're not supposed to drive on the grass.
Yeah, but what happens if you take out a headstone? Now I got to, who do
well,
I have to contact?
Bad.
I got to.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
Like, this is going to be a weird conversation we're going to have, but I owe you $6,000 for a headstone right now.
Right, right. May they rest in peace. Right.
Sandra, give me a tip. I need it.
So I have two quick ones. One is I bought a double pack of those, like, bumper sticker, like, student driver, and I put them on the side doors. I put them up top, down
low. Yeah.
Anna has three.
I have three in the car.
She has three,
They made fun of me, Sandra. They, like, I showed them pictures. They couldn't believe it.
I'm making fun of both of you, but
No, I had six.
Yeah.
I had six. And the other thing my daughter used to do when people got too close is she would clean her windshield.
Oh, yeah. Push them off with that. But that just makes some people angrier. But right. But that's not a bad technique. Yeah.
I'm showing Raven the picture again of all the stickers around the car.
That is ridiculous. She must be so embarrassed.
No,
I like the red brake calipers. Nice.
Yeah, but no, it keeps it keeps people away. It keeps people away.
NN Ravens, the struggle is realness.
You can feel the madness.
It all comes down to the finals. Right now, you're going to decide what is the greatest annoyance of your day-to-day life.
I can hardly keep my food down, Anna.
Woo! It's a big day. Exciting. Now, March Madness, the Elite Eight are going to tip off tomorrow. But around here, this is it. This is where you have to call and vote 1-800-330-9999. Or you could text that number your vote. Or you can vote on Instagram, the poll on our story at Anna and Raven.
And it is a big match, like you said today, Anna. It is the favored white sock. You step in something wet with only your socks on versus the check engine light.
That's right. Which one is a bigger daily annoyance? Let's start with stepping in something wet when you only have socks on. Here's what the office squad had to say about that.
Because my first thought is, did my dog pee and I stepped in it? Or is it just like water from washing dishes? Mm-hmm. I pray it's the water, but either way, it's disgusting. And most likely for me, it's probably dog pee.
Ew. If you have pets or if you have small, small children,
yes,
right, and they've got some questionable behavioral practices, which all of them do.
Or they're being potty trained.
Yeah, I mean, that could be going on, too. Then yep. That is automatically your first thought.
Yep.
First thought.
Yeah, it doesn't even matter if you're right next to the fridge and you know it's the ice that melted on the floor.
Yep.
You think, did I step in pee?
It's pee.
Yep. Gosh, I hope it's not. All right.
In your mind, though.
In the finals, what is going up against stepping in something wet when you only have socks on? The dreaded check engine light on. Here's former producer John.
Because who's to say that you have the money? Doesn't the check engine light know that? The check engine light doesn't realize that it's the end of the month. The check engine light doesn't realize that I've already got some student loans to pay. It doesn't realize that I got to pay for this kid's school. He's got after school pro. You know, I just signed up for Little League. Do you know how much Little League is? And the check engine light doesn't respect that, and it doesn't respect me.
It doesn't. The check engine light respects no one.
Let me answer for John if anybody has any questions. John does not have the money for the check engine light.
No, no. But does anybody have the money? Does anybody see the check engine light come on and be like, yes!
Yes.
I can't wait to give a stranger my money for a car that worked fine 3 seconds ago.
I had some extra money. Now I've got somewhere to put it.
All right. It all comes down to you. We have a couple minutes to vote, so get them in right now. You can text or call 1-800-330-9999, or you can vote on the poll on our Instagram story at Anna and Raven.
Hey, Nicole, settle this debate for us right now. Stepping in something wet with only your socks on or the check engine light?
Check engine light for sure.
Yeah, because that's going to cost money, right?
Yes.
What if I don't have any other clean socks? It's just a terrible rest
that's
of my day,
a nightmare.
Then. Yeah.
All right, we're coming down to it right now. It's the championship of what is going to win. The struggle is realness, where we're looking to crown the biggest daily annoyance. Oh, check engine light, stepping in wet stuff with socks on, and Raven. I am happy to report I didn't have to do too much math right now.
Yeah.
Because hands down, when your check engine light comes on, we'll win the championship. It is the biggest daily annoyance.
Once again, I'll put it out there. What if I don't have any more clean socks? But I get it.
The struggle is real. If you've been thinking about and dreaming about picking up a hot new ride, you want that new car? Maybe today's not the best day.
I wouldn't think so.
Nope. President Trump said this.
What we're going to be doing is a 25% tariff on all cars that are not made in the United States. If they're made in the United States, there's absolutely no tariff. We start off with a 2.5% base, which is what we were at, and we go to 25%.
So the whole goal, obviously, is to have Americans buy American-made cars. But a lot of the cars that we get still have parts from Canada and Mexico. And what it means now is that a typical new car could end up costing you about $6,000 more than it did last week.
If I was you, I'd be on, if you need a car right now, be on the lot at one of these American car companies or just go for something that's already in inventory. And don't take any excuses. If the parking lot is full, guess what? All this terrible news, guys still want to sell cars, all right? And you still need a car. Go see your local dealership. They'll tell you what they got.
I keep hearing about this and I'm like, I say to my husband, I'm like, but that's that's not like real, right? Like, that's not real. And he's like, no, babe. No.
No, it'll be real.
No, it's real.
Yeah, it'll be real.
Yeah, exactly. So, ironically, we ended up buying a car last week because we felt the pressure. And I was like, true or not, I don't know, but I don't want to get stuck paying all this money extra.
You know what? That's the great thing about consumerism, right? They always try and create pressure no matter what industry. So I'm sure it's going to be fine. Again, if you don't like the deal, don't take it.
Just go buy something else.
Yes.
All right. In a much, much lighter note on what's trending today, the new items on the menu at the baseball stadiums are nuts this year.
They are always crazy.
Yes.
What do you got?
The Houston Astros are giving us a Daddy Mac dog topped with brisket mac and cheese barbecue sauce and a crispy dill pickle.
When do we decide we're just going to put everything on top of a hot dog?
You know, I love the hot dogs. You know what I can't do is Bloody Marys that are over a foot tall. That's crazy.
Everything keeps getting bigger.
Yes.
The Phillies are bringing a s'mores quesadilla to the table. Mini marshmallows, Nutella, graham cracker crumble, and a chocolate drizzle in a regular flour tortilla. Whatever. I'll still try it.
I mean, that sounds delicious, actually.
Yeah, it sounds great.
It sounds like a crepe, but it's a quesadilla and it's just s'mores. Yeah, sign me up for that.
I hope it's that big.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chicago Cubs and their kimchi burger. It's a brand new plant-based patty option.
Wait a minute. Am I the only one that doesn't really know what kimchi is? I know I like it when I eat it.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure what it is.
It's like cabbage.
Right?
It's like spicy cabbage.
Spicy cabbage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Rangers are also serving up a boomstick burrito. It's a 2-foot burrito made with a 26-inch tortilla. That's about as big as a bike tire.
Raven's eyes perked up the minute he heard 2-foot burrito.
And I also love the way she said tortilla.
Tortilla. Also this.
Okay, in Minnesota, Twins fans can find a 6-foot beef hot dog topped with pulled pork, jalapenos, and mac and cheese.
Why is everything so big? How hungry are we? And are you supposed to share these things or do you get a 2-foot burrito for yourself?
I also like the way she said jalapenos.
I just don't know you can't eat a 2-foot burrito. So do you wrap it up?
Because you bring a friend.
At the baseball stadium, you don't take food home from there. It's not like going to your Chili's or your Applebee's.
No, it's a long game, though. I mean, 9 innings, right? So you get into it for the first inning or two, right? And then you come back to it at the 7th inning stretch, right after you've woken back up from your nap.
Arizona's got a 2-foot-long chicken parm and meatball grand slamwich. Kind of want that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Yankees got a 4-layer Italian tiramisu that's served in a helmet. I love when things come in helmets.
I do like that,
too. It's so fun.
Yes.
Yeah. Mommy's Margarita Friday.
Oh, mama.
Anna and Raven.
It's not always easy to get through the week, and this is your chance just to vent, let it all out. What did you accomplish this week that has earned you your margarita? Or whatever fills your cup, a Pilates class, a walk in the woods, whatever. 1-800-330-9999. Hey, Connie, what did you do this week to earn your margarita?
I helped my son clean his room, and he's 20, I should tell you.
Oh.
And I also helped him pay all his tickets and his fines for the that he had like $450 worth.
Okay, yeah. Let's define help here. All right, so did you hand him a shovel for the bedroom with cleaning?
That's about what he needed.
Yeah, okay. And then
I
as far
him
as
straighten things out and clean, and the tolls, he had it like $320 worth of tolls, and the rest of it were like tickets that he got for parking at the beach when he knew he wasn't shouldn't have.
That's so funny.
How many of those did you pay?
His car under my name. I paid half of that.
Oh,
all right.
He works. And he just got cool for NYPD, so.
Oh, that's great.
Well, Connie, I just read, like, there's a stat here in my news. Half of American parents are supporting their adult children. So congratulations. You're part of that 50%.
And I also did a 2-hour massage yesterday and then an hour massage after that.
Look at you.
I'm a nurse and a massage therapist.
All right. You're hustling this week.
Yeah. Caitlin, what did you do this week to earn your margarita?
It was my son's 4th birthday, and I promised him that I was going to bake him a huge cake, and I spent a full day watching tutorials and practicing on several cakes that failed, but then I managed to get the one cake that was actually his birthday cake, which he thought was delicious and great.
I mean, were you doing the fondant thing, or were you making a box cake?
I mean,
or
for a 4-year-old? Yeah. How crazy.
The crazy one with like the little like drawings of action figures, or you know, the attempt of drawing action figures on it.
That's really hard. That's a lot of pressure to put on yourself. I give you a lot of credit.
I know.
Anna, you remember when I was baking? I'm baking champion.
Well, you baked for about 2 months, and then you got sick
baking,
of it.
By the way, I'm still coming out with that book, recipes my mama gave me.
But there are none of recipes.
No,
your mom
wonderful.
Didn't give you any of them.
Anyways, yeah. Remember the time that I made the Oreo cake and the frosting came out just weird and looked like the chocolate of an Oreo but had no white to it? I figured it out.
What did you do?
I iced that cake when it was too hot. I woke up from a dream like 2-3 weeks ago and thought about that cake and was like, aha! That's how I know I'm still a genius baker. It came to me in a dream.
I mean, that was like months and months and months ago. You're still waking up over that cake.
I was upset over it. I was really upset. I couldn't figure out what had gone wrong.
Yeah.
You know what? Good for you for trying and putting in a great effort. He's a kid. He likes cake. Yeah. Once it's in his mouth, exactly. He's happy.
I haven't had a good box cake made in a long time. Yeah, I went through that phase. Remember when Cake Boss first became popular?
Oh, yeah.
My cousin and I used to make these massive, beautiful fondant cakes. And then we got in the business where we started selling them.
You told me.
And then we realized this is dumb because it takes us all day and we make about $4 an hour.
So, you were like, you know what? Something's got to break.
Yeah.
This case, it was the cake.
Well, you enjoy your margarita.
Thank you.
Alexa, what did you do this week to earn your margarita?
Oh, my gosh. On Monday night, my daughter had a dance recital, and my son had a basketball championship. It was a real High School Musical moment, and I managed to get them both to both things at the same time, was able to watch enough of both of them. It was exhausting, but I did it, and I'm very ready for my weekend drinks after that.
So hard when you have to split things, and they're happening at the same time. It's trying to figure out which one of us is going to which and how do you do it. Oh, it stinks.
Well, it's just, you know, the clear message to your kids. I love you more. Dad loves this one more. No. You catch a nap in between in the van. That 15 minutes, you're like, you're on your way to the other one, right? Yes. Set an alarm.
Oh, you enjoy your margarita.
Thank you.
One couple.
At 28, he's still exactly the same.
I get what she's saying, and I mean, I'm not proud of it or anything.
One problem.
Marty is just one of those really picky eaters.
You decide the outcome.
I mean, I'm not going to not go out to eat with my husband, but I guess I don't really have a choice, so.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. Couples Court is powered by 5-Hour Energy. Staying up late to catch all the basketball action? Grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. Go to 5hourenergy.com and build your own 12 or 24 pack or pick up a 5-Hour Energy shot at your local grocery store or convenience store. Dylan and Chelsea. Chelsea, what's going on?
Okay, so our daughter has prom coming up. She's a senior in high school, and she really wants to invite her boyfriend, who's a sophomore in college. They've been dating for a while, so they were dating, you know, back when he was in high school. But Dylan thinks that's a huge problem. He doesn't want people to know that we let her date someone so much older and he's in college. He thinks that she should just go with her girls group.
Dylan? Okay, explain that. But what's your feelings? What's this about?
Hey, guys. Basically, as a father, it's not always cut and dry. This is one of those times where it's a bit of a gray area, but... You know, my parents always said to me, when you're in high school, you're in high school. When you're in college, you're in college. I don't have an issue with their age gap because I've had similar ones in my relationships. Even me and the missus have, you know, a couple of years apart. But I just think once you finish high school, you know, you don't go back to high school. That's all.
So you just don't think your daughter should take him because he's already graduated and on to college?
I just think, you know, once you're in college, you shouldn't be hanging out with a bunch of high schoolers. It's one thing if, you know, they're together, I get their history, it makes sense to me, I approve of it, but that doesn't mean you go to the homecoming game. That doesn't mean you go to the powder puff. You know, you just, you do your own thing, you find your own things to do. Do the high school stuff with the high schoolers.
It's interesting because I think that, listen, I've been to one prom once I was out of high school. It was the year after I was out of high school, and it was a state away with somebody once I had moved. So it wasn't a situation where I was going back to a town and people knew me. But I tend to agree, because of that experience and others, is high schoolers hang with high schoolers. And once you're in college, you should not be going to a high school event. Like, it's just, it doesn't feel natural to me. If they're going to the after parties and stuff like that, he doesn't belong there. You know, it could get him in trouble and them in trouble, whatever. On the other hand, if they're just going to prom and they're going off and doing their own thing after, I don't know if it's a big deal. It's an event that's important to her if that's her partner.
How long have they been dating, guys?
It's been about, I want to say 3 or 4 years, right, Dylan?
That's a big deal.
I mean, that's a long time. How do you not take your boyfriend to the prom?
Right. You envision going to your prom the entire time with that person, right? So, I mean, that's...
Right. And doesn't that look better? Doesn't loyalty say anything? You know what I mean? I feel like it looks better that she'll be sticking with the same person, whether he's in college or high school.
I mean, who's paying attention anyways? Who's keeping score?
If she didn't take him to the prom, who would she take?
I guess she'd go with her girls group, and then she'd just be resentful and hate us.
Well, that's a possibility.
Right. But there is a girl group that's going without dates?
Yes.
All right. What do you think? Would you let your daughter go with her boyfriend who happens to be in college to the prom?
Did she go to his prom?
Yes.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court.
If your daughter was a high school senior and going to her prom, would you let her take her boyfriend who was 2 years older than her and in college? That's what's going on with Dylan and Chelsea. Dylan's like, he's too old to go to prom. That's it. No, she's got to go with her girlfriends.
I mean, he's 18 or he's 20. She's 18 and they've been dating for 3 years. And that's really the point of Chelsea, who just says, you know, we've been cool with this entire time. She went to his prom. He's not going to go to her prom. I think it's weird.
What do you think? Mike, whose side are you on?
I'm 100% on the mother's side. I'm not really sure where the father is coming from, if he is okay with the relationship his daughter has with a sophomore in college, and he's not embarrassed. I don't know what the big deal is about going to a prom for a couple hours. You know, you either like the guy and you're happy, or your daughter's going out with him and he's a good guy. What difference does it make? The whole going back to high school thing, it's a couple of years.
If your daughter was getting ready to go to her senior prom and she wanted to bring her boyfriend, who happened to be a sophomore in college, would you have a problem with that? Because Chelsea does. The Couples Court verdict is powered by BetterHelp. This program is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist. Get 10% off your first month of online therapy at BETTERHELP.com/AnnaAndRaven.
According to Dad Dylan, high schoolers stay at high school events and college students stay at college events, and they don't mix at this point. He's got no problem with their relationship. They've been together 3 years, but he doesn't want his daughter's boyfriend, who's now a sophomore in college, going to her prom. Chelsea says, that's ridiculous. They've been together this entire time.
What do you think? Pam, whose side are you on?
The mother's side, because the boyfriend's been hanging out with that whole group of friends for however long they've been dating. So, of course, he should go. 100%.
Hey, Carol and Kathy, what do you ladies think?
Oh, definitely she should take her boyfriend. I dated a guy, and we were together a couple of years, and I was actually the older one. He was a junior, I was a senior, and then I went off to college, and he went to my senior prom, and I went to his senior prom. Granted, it was a little weird going back to high school, but I got to do it for him because we were a couple. My boyfriend was a year older than me, and I dated him for 2 years, and then there I couldn't think of not taking him. And then also, all my friends knew I dated him, so it wasn't weird.
I have a quick question that has nothing to do with this. Carol and Kathy, are you twin sisters commuting together?
Yes, we are.
Oh,
yes.
My gosh. It's amazing.
We've done this before.
I love this.
They continue to call in. They always call. Yes.
It's my favorite.
Thanks, girls.
Thanks, guys.
We listen to you every day. We love you guys.
Thanks, Carol.
Have a great day, you two.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Chelsea, our audience agreed with you today. They've been together a long time. It seems really awkward if she didn't bring him to prom.
I agree. If I were her boyfriend, I would be so upset. I'd be so hurt if she didn't invite me if I were him. So I think that's a great decision. I mean, they love each other. They've been together forever. They both went to his prom. So I just don't think they should care what other people think. It's loyalty. They love each other.
Dylan, I hear what you're saying about the mixing of crowds from time to time, especially at institutional settings where they're doing this. On the other hand, I think it says a lot that he is coming back for her prom and not blowing it off. And this is who your daughter envisions being there. The last thing you'd want is for her to feel awkward or lonely or out of place or pressured in some other way or have an argument over this. Like, you don't want to be the source of that.
I agree.
Well, Dylan, I mean, how are you going to take it? That's the question.
Well, look, you know, as a father, you got to be prepared to lose half these battles, but they're going to have a good time regardless. But I just thought, well, who cares what dad thinks, right?
Right, it's over.
Right, it's over.
Doesn't matter. You already lost dad.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So settle back into that comfortable chair that we all know how it feels.
Yep.
Yep.
If you have a problem, too, send an email. Couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven Cash jackpot is $300 thanks to 5-Hour Energy. Spring is here, so grab a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy shot for the boost you need to enjoy it all. Go to 5hourenergy.com to find over 20 flavors. Find 5-Hour Energy at your local grocery or convenience store. Lauren, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
You got it. Good luck, Lauren.
All right, here we go. Raven's walking out of here. That big old door is going to close. He's not going to be able to hear us. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in. Ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play, Lauren?
Yes.
All right, number one. Many of the original X-Men will be in the next Avengers movie, Avengers Doomsday. It comes out in May of 2026. Robert Downey Jr. will play what character?
Man.
That's time. That's okay. Number two, Fred and Wilma Flintstone have been named the best animated romantic couple on TV by Entertainment Weekly. What's the name of Fred and Wilma's daughter?
Devils.
Number three, Megan Fox welcomed baby number 4 with her estranged fiancé, Machine Gun Kelly. Her first 3 children are from her previous marriage to which 90210 alum?
Oh, boy. We know his name. Brian Austin Green.
Number 4, it's National Prom Day. In what horror movie was pig's blood dumped on the prom queen?
Carrie.
And number 5, spoiler alert if you haven't watched Deal or No Deal yet, okay? If you haven't watched the finale, this is your time to turn around. But all right, here we go. Ready, Lauren?
Yes.
All right, it was a huge win, over $5 million for the former Australian survivor. But who was the first female banker?
Oof. I don't know.
All right, let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
Okay, 3 out of 5 for Lauren.
Not bad, not terrible. Let's see how I do. Here we go.
Number one, many of the original X-Men will be in the next Avengers movie, Avengers Doomsday. Comes out in May of next year.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
It looks like it's going to be great if you're into it.
Yeah, well, they can't seem to make any money without the old characters.
Right. Robert Downey Jr. will play what character?
He's going to play Dr. Doom this time.
Yes. Number two, Fred and Wilma Flintstone have been named the best animated romantic couple on TV by Entertainment Weekly.
Okay.
What's the name of Fred and Wilma's daughter?
Pebbles.
That's right. How are Homer and Marge not on this list?
I feel like Fred and Wilma, they danced a little bit more.
Number 3, Megan Fox welcomed baby number 4 with her estranged fiancé, Machine Gun Kelly.
Yeah.
Her first 3 children are from her previous marriage to which 90210 alum?
Brian Austin Green.
That's right. Number 4, it's National Prom Day. In what horror movie was pig's blood dumped on the prom queen?
Carrie.
That's right. Who wrote Carrie?
Stephen King,
and number
the greatest writer of our generation.
Spoiler alert, this is about Deal or No Deal. Again, if you haven't watched the finale, this is your warning.
Well, I have.
All right, huge win, over $5 million for the former Australian Survivor winner.
Yep.
But who was the first female banker?
Chrissy Teigen.
Yes.
Meh.
5-3 today, Lauren. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Thank you. It's Lauren, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $400 Monday, Anna.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself. At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.